Yeah, that's that mumbling in the background is probably James whining about something.
Oh, that's okay.
Can you actually hear him whining?
Not really.
Okay, well, bonus sound effects for the podcast today. Teenage children feel entitled when you get a new car.
Yeah, so you got a new car.
Well, we had to because my other car is 14 years old.
And you now have how many licensed drivers in your house?
Three.
And soon to be?
Oh yeah, four, I guess, technically. Yeah, I guess if Mandy's going to get her license this summer, that's not good. So we're still not like, it's funny because my wife and I shared a car. We managed to share a car for like 16 years, 17 years, and then we had one more driver and it's a pain in the butt. All right, well.
What's hysterical is I have two licensed drivers in my house and three cars. So
That math doesn't math.
I know. I know. Well, the third car is for the third driver who is not licensed yet, but is like a year away. So there's no point to get rid of it.
No, not with the price of cars.
Nope. So we decide to hang on to that one.
By the way, anybody out there who needs a new car, my hot tip to you is that I've now had three different people tell me that the price of cars is going to go through the roof. Thank you, tariffs.
Yeah.
Well, with that exciting news, let's hit the theme song.
Cast in sports entertainment is Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Greg like always looks at me and shakes his head like, you didn't play the theme song. It's like, no,
Well,
why would we listen to it?
I don't know if you've deaf rebelled us now or not.
Oh, I did not deaf rebel us. Don't worry. We should have that short theme song. Probably use it next week because you won't be here and I'll be covering a SmackDown before Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, that's true. I will be on special assignment next week, and hopefully I'll be back the week after. We'll see. I definitely won't be here in I guess 3 weeks' time. So like it's we're playing a dangerous game at this point.
Fast and loose.
Fast and loose.
Well, it
That's
doesn't
what you
matter.
said.
Next week, I'm gonna blaze through that episode because the episode's gonna be, dude, that episode's gonna be is setting up, all it's gonna be is a giant commercial for Saturday night's main event.
Probably. Are you excited for Saturday night's main event with what they have announced so far?
I am excited for Saturday night's main event.
Okay, well, let's get to this week's episode. That way we
No,
can
no, no, no,
cover.
no. Yeah, like I feel like you're skipping foreplay and things. I have news for you this week, okay?
All right.
So I'm gonna hit the news. I did some research this week, Greg, because we had three different kind of important things that we have going on. So
All right, hit me with it.
Let's start with the passing of Sabu, who just wrestled on WrestleMania weekend in his quote unquote retirement match, which I guess now is his actual retirement match.
Yes.
So he died with, there's no real cause of death. There is some controversy because apparently he was on some sort of substance to get through the match, which, yeah, shocking. But the real thing,
Surprise. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that controversy aside, I just really, because we don't really talk about the controversy stuff, Greg. Let's just talk about when were you first introduced to Sabu? And when you think about Sabu, what you think of?
Mayhem.
It's a good word association.
That's the best word association. I mean, obviously ECW is my thought, where my mind goes to when you talk Sabu, right? So, I mean, there's so much great matches with him in ECW, but yeah, I don't even know if I could pick one right now.
No, and I think about ECW, I think about he's a guy that was, you know, it was born in a wrong time. And I also think about recently, if you go back and watch the Dark Side of the Ring from this week, because his uncle, the Sheik, was the profile character and Sabu was heavily interviewed for it.
Oh, so really?
Yeah. And that came out this week after he died.
Crazy.
It was wild watching it because you're just like, oh my gosh, Sabu. I'm like, now it's next season is going to be him.
Yeah.
I'm only sad that he's another guy that should have gotten the WWE Hall of Fame treatment, and now he's going to get the posthumous one. And I think it would have meant a lot to him to go in before he died.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. But, I mean, it's not much you can do at this point.
And thoughts and prayers to Jim Ross, because Jim Ross recently provided a health update, and Jim is got a cancer scare again, so...
Yeah, it's colon cancer. So, yeah, that's too bad. Too bad.
And the last one was a fun one. Greg Bailey took a bunch of the released wrestlers and took them out for dinner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that this week, and I thought I didn't know if you saw that. So a bunch of the released wrestlers were taken out for dinner. She posted one picture on social media without any faces, just saying that the friendships don't end. So it was just, I thought that was really classy. And yeah, shout out to Bailey for, you know, being awesome.
Well, there's one thing now that we're talking about this sort of thing. There's one other thing that came up that piqued my interest. Give me a minute. Let me go and pull this story again that I had up earlier. There's currently a, this is from Bigger Four Online, with Business Insiders reporting that Hulk Hogan's beer brand, Real American Beer, is planning on making a play on the Hooters restaurant chain.
Oh my gosh.
Property.
Does that mean we get to see different Hooters? We're going to see Hulk Hogan's pecs?
I don't know. But I thought it was interesting to say the least, that could very well happen with Hulk Hogan's beer brand potentially picking up Hooters.
Yeah, that will be a very I don't know. Do we get Real American? Yeah, do we get Real American on loop? Is that how that works? You walk in and Rick Springfield is playing on a loop. I always get Rick Springfield, Rick James, and Rick Astley all confused.
Oh, do you know the Rick Springfield and stuff? Some of those songs, it's amazing how much they kind of intertwine into your childhood. And when you hear it, you're just like, oh yeah, right.
You did all my favorite things.
Yeah. So, was there anything else kind of big that happened this week that, I mean, the only other thing I can think of is the report of John Cena's last match, when it actually is going to be.
Oh, I did not see that one. When is it going to be?
John Cena's last match, according to a feature done by Boston News Station WCVB for their Chronicle show, will be held at TD Gardens in December.
Oh, wow.
And that's according to John Cena Sr.
That's a very reliable source.
Yeah.
Or he's working us.
It would be really interesting. I don't know what date it is that they're going to do it, but yeah, sometime in December.
Craig's like, road trip.
I legitimately was thinking about it. I don't know how we could pull that one.
Well, we'll beg WWE for tickets. That's what we'll do.
Oh, you're not getting them, but...
No. It would cost an arm and a leg, because WWE shows are selling out like crazy recently.
I think the bigger problem there is going to be my wife.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, let's go through this tonight. So, Greg, what episode are we on?
You had to ask that, didn't you?
Well, I always ask it. It's usually in your notes. Like you normally in your notes.
I usually do it. I didn't have it up. It's episode number 1,343 from the Greenboro Coliseum in Greenboro, North Carolina for this week's SmackDown.
Okay, so I don't know what to call this group as we start the show with the arrival of the... Are they the new bloodline? Are they the new bloodline? Are they the new bloodline?
I don't even know what to call these people.
Does it matter?
Apparently we're calling them Mateo.
Oh, I saw that and I just died laughing. Well, JC, which stands for Jeff Cobb.
Jeff Cobb Mateo.
But we couldn't call him Jeff Cobb Mateo, so we're just going to call him JC Mateo.
Right.
So Solo Sikoa, accompanied by Jacob Fatu and the newest member of the new bloodline, JC Mateo, addresses the WWE Universe. And first they introduced the name JC Mateo because nobody called him by name last week or on Saturday when he attacked. Oh, that was something I meant to ask you, Greg. Before we get into this, what about this is like what happens when our meds haven't kicked in. What happens? No ADHD. Whee! Let's go ride bikes. Greg, what about the show? How did you like Backlash?
I enjoyed Backlash. Backlash was a fun show this week, or last week, I guess. I didn't watch it until Sunday. But I thought overall that was a pretty good five-match PLE. Honestly, I don't even know. Which one I like the best, like which match I like the best out of it.
It's either the main event wasn't good until the end, and then we started getting the I'm going to throw you through tables. That was fun.
Do you know, I actually enjoyed the whole main event because I thought it told a great story beginning to end with all the callbacks to their previous feuds over the last 20 years. So I actually enjoyed the whole thing. But I think my favorite thing was probably the Gunther and Pat McAfee match. I'm surprised at that only because I think I was expecting or kind of hoping that Michael Cole's involvement in the match would have involved him throwing in the towel for Pat McAfee to kind of call it off, which we didn't get. So I was kind of pleasantly surprised, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I'm happy that I like the ending of that match as well. Okay, so now let's go back to the new bloodline promo.
Okay.
I love the fact that we had Solo stealing Jacob's lines, talking about how now they're stronger than ever. He's going to qualify for Money in the Bank and bring the title back to the bloodline. Just like Jacob kept his title and he was like, we're all gas and no brakes. That was hilarious. And then finally, Jacob gets the mic and he has a huge cheer and he goes, Solo also sold, you got to get in where you fit in, which was just, it was funny hearing Solo do Jacob's lines. Anyways, they basically jimmer jammer. Solo is clearly, thinks he's in charge, but I think Jacob's actually still in charge. And now, Greg, now we're getting into something really interesting where LA Knight attacks JC and the bloodline and runs away. And now the bloodline wants the blood of LA Knight.
Yeah.
Greg, besides, do you think JC Mateo is going to actually strengthen this team, this organization, or is this just a way to splinter off Jacob Fatu?
Yeah, I think this is a splinter off of Fatu.
And we assume that the Tongans are going to side with Solo, right?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Who knows?
I hope they side with him because I think it'd be fun to have Jacob start trying to whip through all of the new bloodline. Every time we mention them, I might add a few more news just because this is going to be a running joke. Match number one of the night. I also forgot we had a recap. Because we need a recap, Greg. It's been 5 minutes. So Chelsea Green's in the back with Meechan. Meechan's in the back with B-Fab talking about how she's going to win the briefcase. And then they're going to go after the tag titles. Yeah, Meechan, I'm sorry, you're not getting in that match. And Chelsea Green and Sierra Hervis are in there. Chelsea's going to win the match. But Sierra Hervis can't come out because it's only singles.
Yeah. I'm so disappointed in this match.
You're disappointed in this match because of the finish, which is Meechan versus Alexa Bliss versus Chelsea Green, the triple threat match where the winners are going to get there. And I love that we get the signature Chelsea Green. I don't want to actually wrestle. She rolls out of the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. We got Chelsea in fine form.
So this match really doesn't get going until there's some dives to the outside before the commercial. And then Chelsea actually hits a dive to the outside and is in control. And at the end of the match, we start getting finishers, Unpretty Hers, Heat Defeats. But this all ends up with Chelsea Green thinks that she's got the match won, but Alex comes in and breaks it up. She gets mad. And out of nowhere, we get Sister Abigail DDT, which is what they're now calling that finish. And this is why you're upset, Greg, right? Because you're not getting Chelsea Green in the ladder match.
Yeah. Yeah, Chelsea Green, honestly, should have won Money in the Bank.
This year?
Yeah.
Or they meant last year?
No, this year. This year, I think Chelsea Green should be winning.
Well, you're assuming that there's not going to be a last chance match.
Yeah, I guess. And I think that's what I'm assuming.
She'll sneak in the last chance one. So there's going to be two. So we get six people in this match. We know that with the qualifiers for next week, we know that there's going to be probably two on Raw that Randy C and Eric B will cover, the Raw Dogs.
Right.
So then what are we getting?
Yeah, I guess maybe. Maybe just maybe.
So I hope she gets in. I agree with you. I think it'll be better with Chelsea. I like how she called herself the real winner of the match.
Yeah, I think that would be so good with Chelsea winning this match, or like getting the Money in the Bank and winning it. I mean, I know Alexa's got to go in here and that makes sense. But yeah, Chelsea, like, can you just imagine the stuff that Chelsea would pull with Money in the Bank briefcase?
Yeah. Oh, I can't. I think it'll be fantastic. And this one was pretty obvious that Alexa was going in, but next week's match, whew, like,
well, we'll get to that.
What about so recap number two? The chaos with the tag division last week, including Fraxium beating DIY and the Motor City Machine Guns, and Fraxium getting beat up by DIY. Sorry, the Fraxium beat the tag champs. They beat Street Profits. Dude, yeah. What's this tag division? It's just constantly in flux.
Constantly in flux. You're absolutely right. That's the best way to describe that.
I feel like we should be tithing 10% of the tag teams over to Raw, though, because they have like three.
They need help.
They need lots of help. But we're not. I hope we don't give away either of these teams, which is DIY versus Fraxium. This match is all about how fast Fraxium is. Have you adjusted yet to seeing the speed of Fraxium?
No. Honestly, it feels like both these. It feels like both the guys in Fraxium, you know, are not able to pass a wellness policy test before they go out for a match.
I really enjoy the shenanigans of DIY throughout this match, including when they the barricade spot before the commercial break where they're both sitting on the barricade clapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Nathan Frazier? That Nathan Frazier hitting after the hot tag, he hits the sling blade and then the standing shooting star.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy. Like, the moves that these guys are doing are just nuts.
And then the combos, like super kick, fairy tale ending combo. They called it a super kick when it was Frazier hitting a brain buster, but that's actually Fraxium's finisher. It's called the golden ratio. It's like a jump kick.
The golden ratio.
You get it? Because he's Fraxium, so he's all about math. That's a math joke, Greg.
That's a terrible, terrible name. Like, what dad came up with that?
I don't know.
Okay.
This match ends out of nowhere, though. It's not any of these cool finishers. Johnny just gets caught, and he rolls, like, he just rolls him up, grabs the leg, sits down, and Johnny gets pinned by Nate. I think it was Axiom who got the pin.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was.
Dude, after the match, and then after the match, they're trying to take off Axiom's mask, which he's a handsome dude. If they have his mask, that's gonna be a problem for the ladies.
You think so?
I think so.
I was gonna say I don't know if I would call him a handsome dude, but like, yeah, what? I don't know why we I guess defer to all luchadors that we have to have a spot where we try to take off their mask in every single match. Like, do we need that all the time?
We didn't need it for this match. It would have been, he should have done the classic thing where it's like, if you just turn his mask so he can't see, that works better.
Right. I can see that. Yep.
Good thing the Motor City Machine Guns are here because they make the save and they fight off DIY and they love up on Fraxium, which is stupid because Fraxium is now the number one contenders.
Yeah. I guess raise your fists, dude.
Raise your fists. Raise your fist. Greg, do you think this is going to eventually lead to another match between DIY and the Motor City Machine Guns? And
I think so. I think that makes good sense.
Do you think either of these teams are in danger of being shifted to Raw?
I hope not, but yes.
I say we give them Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, listen, I'm good with whatever.
You're just really laid back this morning.
I am. I'm in a good mood, Brad. We had a pretty good night here. Like, yeah, I'm in a good spot.
So next we have a segment where Andrade is saying he's going to get Money in the Bank, but he's wishing well to Rey Fénix tonight. However, the Bloodline interrupts because they're looking for LA Knight, and there's tension, Greg.
There is tension.
Do you think Andrade could fit into the current title scene at all?
I mean, I'd like for him to, but I'm not sure at this point. It's pretty crowded.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he can fit into the U.S. title scene.
Yeah, that's... I don't even know what to do with these guys. Like, I think that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah, they brought back all these toys, but they're not... There's not enough spots, really.
Yeah.
That's why when they were, like, releasing guys, it's like, oh, yeah, well, there's just not... Like, the undercard on this show is huge. And the biggest problem we have is that John Cena is the world champion, so which means that you only really have one title to chase after on this brand.
Exactly. And we'll get to all that stuff.
So the Street Profits confront Fraxium, and they acknowledge that they lost last week and they got a lot of victories. So we're getting a tag title match between Fraxium and the Street Profits. The Street Profits have to win this, right? We can't have Fraxium just blitz through the, as Nathan Frazier said, speed run through the division.
I actually kind of hope they do.
Whoa, you want Fraxium to take titles?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. There's precedent for it. I mean, Motor City Machine Guns won their first night.
This tag division is crazy, Greg. Anybody can beat anybody.
And guess what? You're going to cover it next week.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll get... When's that ladder match coming?
Which one?
The one with this tag division.
Didn't we just have that, like, just after WrestleMania? Because we didn't have room to put it on the show?
Because we had to put in the War Raiders and the New Day?
Yeah.
Because the War Raiders need to cosplay as Vikings because they missed that.
Right.
So next segment, Greg, is your... Yeah, this is your highlight of tonight. The sit down with Wade Barrett and R-Truth.
Yeah. This was, I think, probably the best thing on this show.
So R-Truth is admiring... He had admired John Cena his whole life. And his mantra of hustle, OT, and respect. And he didn't help John Cena win, but he realized afterwards when he got thrown through the table that something is wrong with John Cena. And that's not the person he was. John Cena was a beacon of light. He always would tell you things like never give up. And if he has to beat the John Cena back to his senses, then he will. And this is going to lead to Saturday night's main event, where R-Truth is going to live by three words: hustle, loyalty, and respect. And beating John Cena back into his consciousness. Greg, this makes Saturday night's main event a must watch, right?
Yes, I hope that I am home and not watching this in a hospital bed. That's all I have to say. Yeah, it's Brad. Honestly, I thought when this started, when R-Truth was talking about that this wasn't John Cena, I didn't know if he was going to go with some weird conspiracy theory thing that, you know, this was like some sort of John Cena clone and he's not the real John Cena. But they played this really, for lack of a better word, straight. Like, they played this very much as real, I guess, as you can call this. And man, they did such a good job. Such a good job with this. Like, we didn't get the, you know, comedian R-Truth in this, but I think I'm more invested in this now than I was before.
Yeah, it's I think we're ready for something pretty special that's going to happen.
I hope so. I really do.
So I like how we got the one wrestler came out into the crowd and the other one got filmed. This is Damian Priest challenging Drew McIntyre for Saturday night's main event for steel cage match, that he's been stuck in this vortex of doom and they need a definitive ending to this. Will this actually be the end of this?
I don't think so. I think that this will continue on. I see this more so in the vein of, you know, I hate to say this, the John Cena, Randy Orton thing we saw last week, right? I think you can see a Drew McIntyre Damian Priest. His name escaped my mind for a minute. A Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest feud that's multi-year here.
Ooh, I think if you separate them, that would probably be the simplest way to put a pause in this.
Yeah.
One of them should end up on the red brand at some point, and it'll probably be Drew McIntyre.
I would not be opposed to that.
Yeah, I think we could use a Drew break. And that's the beautiful thing about these rosters, the way they're set up, is that you can move characters around. And
right, exactly.
Maybe somebody gets sent down to Mexico for a while.
You could do that too.
Now that you own AAA, you could do that. Greg, I am so excited for you, because our next match is Aleister Black versus Carmelo Hayes. And Carmelo Hayes has managed to find himself again in a series of matches.
So, okay, before this even starts, Aleister Black coming out, how much I've missed that, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until I watched it last night. But as someone we both know used to say, it's about the little things. And I don't know if you caught it. I didn't catch it live. I caught it while I was scrolling on my phone this morning. But you know how they have the LED boards that are going around where the barricades are?
Yep.
If you noticed Aleister Black's entrance, he walks down to the ring. When he gets the LED boards to walk towards to get to the steps, his name appears as he's walking by. Like, every letter is as his body movement goes by, and they time it so perfectly. Like, him walking by reveals his name. And I'm just like, what production value that they put into something like this, right?
Oh, his whole entrance. He just seems so much cooler. From it's the same. Any nothing has changed other than the first name between AEW and WWE.
Yeah.
The only thing that has changed is the production values.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and how to use them.
Right. And Carmelo Hayes having Miz as his hype man, like he also sounded cool doing his promo before the match. The best part about this match was actually the match is really good.
Yeah. I actually didn't mind this. Like, do you know Aleister Black and the Muay Thai type offense? Man, it's just so good. And maybe it's seeing Carmelo Hayes get his ass kicked. I don't know. But I enjoyed this. So good.
But the big thing about this is that you have two guys who can do some dives. So you have things like Carmelo Hayes or Aleister Black hitting his moonsault to the outside and Miz pushing Carmelo out of the way. And then Carmelo just rolling in and sprinting and then coming back out and hitting a dive of his own to the outside. Like, awesome.
Okay. So here's my biggest question as a result of this match.
Wait.
How much longer?
Oh, yeah. Let's do the finish. Because the finish
Go to the finish. Go to the finish.
The finish is a couple times there's a miscommunication between Miz and Carmelo Hayes. And it results in the Miz taking a bump and not a finish. Because Miz is trying to get him to hit nothing but net. So finally Miz gets frustrated, attacks for the DQ. So technically Carmelo Hayes loses and Aleister Black wins. So Aleister Black is still undefeated. When the Miz tries to hit skull crushing finale, Aleister fights out. Kicks Miz in the head again, but this time he gets clipped in the knee and we get nothing but net from Carmelo after the match. He stands tall. And I know what you're going to ask. Go ahead, Greg. Ask a question about how long this is going.
No, that's not my question. I'm okay for this to go a few more, if I'm being honest. My question is, how much longer do we have to look at that god-awful Andre the Giant thing around Carmelo's neck? Like, okay. Seriously, at what point do we just give this up?
We covered this last week. It's not Andre the Giant. It's Dre. He's wearing Dre.
This is terrible. Stop doing this. You're making my head hurt.
You're just mad because it's awesome.
It's terrible.
Meanwhile, the match is so great. I want these guys. I can tell you how this is going to go. Aleister Black is not getting in that Money in the Bank match.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Carmelo is going to screw him.
That could work. That could work. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
You know what? I was just thinking about this. So we have Money in the Bank. They're going to do two Money in the Bank matches, right?
Right.
They could do three and they could do one with the tag teams.
I would be okay with that as well. But then, like, where do you draw the line? Like, are you going to get a U.S. title Money in the Bank next? Like,
well, we've established that the Money in the Bank does not have to be cashed in for the world title because it was, oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember which Austin Theory cashed it in for a U.S. title or an Intercontinental title.
I mean, that's fair. And we had hoped that Otis was going to cash it in for the tag titles at one point.
Yeah, and it didn't happen. And instead, he just lost the briefcase, which is dumb.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
But yeah. Dumb, dumb, dumb. So, anyways, this match, absolutely incredible. Go back, like out of anything on this show, go back and watch this. So now we got a bunch of segments, Greg. First is Alexa Bliss in the back, where she's talking about her wanting to win, and she gets interrupted when she sees Charlotte, walks over, talks about them teaming, guess their past friendship doesn't guarantee a future alliance because Charlotte doesn't want anything to do with this. And what happens? Julia walks out. Greg, we get Julia. I think this is a win for us.
Yes, Nick Aldis introducing her as the newest member of the SmackDown roster.
And setting up her role in next week's episode. So,
yeah. So,
okay. After that, we have Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill backstage where they're interacting, and Tiffany says that Jade's not going to ever win the title. Doesn't matter if she wins Money in the Bank. Even if she qualifies and wins the briefcase, she's not dethroning her as champion. I beg to differ. I think if Jade wins Money in the Bank, Tiffy might be screwed.
I don't want Jade to win Money in the Bank. Jade does not make sense to win Money in the Bank, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I would not be a big fan of that either.
No. Unlike
what?
Unlike, I don't like that idea. Unlike.
Unlike, oh, I thought you meant unlike, you're going to give me a scenario.
No, unlike. Win. I don't like that idea. Unlike.
I don't think they have a thumbs down on, well, in some, it's like in YouTube where people see our videos and go,
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, we don't get very many of those. I may have gotten in trouble with the YouTube police this week, though.
Did you?
Yeah, some guy said your video, one of our shorts, yeah. He said it sucked. Yeah, but it sucked butt. Then I said, just like your mom.
Nice.
I died laughing. I was like, nobody expects that out of Brad. Oh, yeah? Take this. So Drew walks out to the ring, and he... and cuts his promo. He accepts the challenge. So I guess this is that we're getting that cage match. And then the fun part of this was when he's walking out and he runs into the bloodline.
Yeah.
I think Drew's winning and we're getting Drew and Jacob Fatu for that US title.
You think?
I think so. I think he's winning. The other thing was he promised that one of them is leaving on a stretcher.
I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world either.
It's a great way to put somebody out of the way if somebody needs a break.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them a little break with that.
Boy, oh boy. And then from here, Greg, I keep saying that this is the best match, but the reality is I think this might be the best match other than, I can't say that. With the ending, I'm not very happy. Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, and Rey Fénix in a Money in the Bank qualifier.
Yeah, that was surprising. I'm not sure that that's what I was expecting. I don't think I had that on my bingo card for tonight, but sure.
Can I ask you a question about Nick Aldis' decision-making?
Sure, go for it.
Didn't the Secret Harvest get banned from ringside to make sure the match was fair?
Yes.
So why is the bloodline out here?
Because this is the new bloodline. So those rules don't apply. She just needs to start, making more people to her Secret Harvest. That way the rules would apply to her.
The rules don't apply to me. Rules don't apply to me. The rules may apply to some of you fools, but the rules don't apply to me. Okay. That was musical intermission. Solo hits. Like, I love the fact when Solo starts hitting things like a spinning solo onto the announce table. The doomsday device that doesn't happen. I was so curious to see what was going to happen between the two brothers while Rey Fénix was being held up. And then Rey just rolls up Solo. I was like, damn it. That looks so cool.
So cool.
But eventually, this just comes down to the fact that Solo hits a Samoan spike on Jimmy as he's distracted from the outside. And then he hits one on Rey Fénix. And yeah, the least interesting addition to this match. Why Solo?
I don't understand. I don't understand what they're doing here. I don't understand why Solo. Like, yeah. I'm not interested in the men's Money in the Bank.
Not with this one as the first entry. And like, next week, we're either going to get Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, or the third one in that one. Oh, my gosh.
The third one in that one?
Yeah, Jake. So it's not, I mean, we didn't get Rey Fénix or Jimmy. And then in that other match, it's LA Knight, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Aleister Black. And Aleister Black's probably not going to be the one that goes in. So we're going to get probably Shinsuke. That would be the way we're booking this match. Let's take guys who don't do high risk moves and put all of them into the ladder match.
Yep.
We'll get there in a second because LA Knight comes out, attacks the bloodline, stands on the table, nearly takes a bump on his arse while he's holding the chair, fighting out the bloodline. This leads to an impromptu match because Nick Aldis doesn't have a whole show booked. JC Mateo, LA Knight, come on down.
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
I mean, we love Nick Aldis, but that man has never booked 3 hours of television.
Apparently not.
Do you think he'll have 2 hours booked once we get back to 2 hours after the next two episodes?
Doubt it.
He'll just have about, he'll have an hour booked and just like, well, I wonder what will happen tonight so I can put people.
Throw him in a tag match. You're facing The Undertaker.
You're facing, you're getting sent to LFG. Hello. Okay, so the story of this match is that LA Knight can do really high rope, like jumpy things, but JC is so weird calling him JC. JC is just overpowering him, doing things like punches to the back and just some. Greg, have you, you haven't seen a lot of JC wrestle before when he had his real name.
Is it easier just to call him Mateo?
Fine. Mateo doing the throws, dude. Those, his suplexes look awesome.
Oh, yeah. 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 And I don't know if I've seen anything that Jeff Cobb Mateo has wrestled in before. I'm trying to remember, but
a little bit of AEW. You may have seen him as Jericho's hitman on AEW.
Maybe. Yeah. So. Yeah, what we saw here tonight, though, was great. I mean, for someone, if you have no prior connection to JC Mateo, I think that this was a great introduction to him besides, you know, the PLE.
Also, the flip, dude, that moonsault looked awesome.
The moonsault, the tour of the islands to end this was great, too. So, yeah.
So the trick with the tour of the islands is he goes basically catches the guy and he goes all the way in one direction, stops the momentum because he has such a good low center balance from amateur wrestling. And then he spins him all the way through in a spinning scoop slam. It always looks phenomenal. And the bit, and he's done it to some big dudes. LA Knight is a large human being to catch and change momentum of.
Right.
So JC Mateo wins, LA Knight loses, but JC doesn't qualify for the qualifier for Money in the Bank. It's LA Knight.
Yeah.
So here's our latest recap. I think this was 4. Legado's falling apart, and Santos has a special surprise for Birdo and for Angel, but Angel has to get Birdo.
Yeah. That's we'll see.
And Shinsuke Nakamura is not afraid of Aleister Black. He's not afraid of the dark. And they're going to settle this in not a one-on-one match, but a qualifier for the ladder match.
That's what we're getting.
And Aleister Black is definitely being jumped by The Miz and Carmelo.
Yeah, I think so.
So I started noticing the time on this. It was by time this match started, we had about 15 minutes left.
Right.
And our main event of the evening is Nia Jax versus Tiffany Stratton.
And you thought, what the hell are they going to do in 15 minutes?
And they somehow made, well, I was like, thank God, because I don't want to see Nia Jax wrestle for more than 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
In fairness, I was sure Nia was going to get blown up in this match, trying to chase around Tiffy. And she did a great job.
I thought this was actually, I mean, Tessa Torre went and lost his damn mind during this match, but I actually really enjoyed this and was curious how they were going to kind of get through this match.
And there was some bells and whistles, but it was the start before the commercial break when she hits the hip attack into Tiffy's head, squishing Tiffy's head between Nia's hip and the ring post.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. I love how when we come back, we get a burst of energy from Tiffy and she does the cross body from the top rope. That looks great. But Nia hits a pop-up Samoan out of nowhere, kind of gets things going. The other cool move was at one point, Nia's on the top rope and it looks like she's going to slam Tiffy. And Tiffy turns it into like a version of a DDT. Both of them are down. This is where we get the Naomi comes out with a steel chair. She's going to mess up this match. Jade comes out. It's on site. The two of them fight to the back. Perfect timing because that allowed them to hit that very ambitious spot and have some cover time to recover from and catch their wind.
Right, right.
This resets. We get a Samoan drop onto the desk outside. Tiffy's down after in the ring. We got some spots where Tiffy's like jacking Nia's head against the ring post, but Nia recovers. And eventually where Tiffy's lying there, the finishing sequence is Tiffy's lying in the corner and she gets up and she tries to power bomb Nia while she's in for the Annihilator, and Nia just sits down on her.
Yeah.
Now, Greg, did you catch the spot that happened here after the what after the two count and Tiffy kicks out?
Is this the arm under the rope?
She grabs the rope and then Tiffy gets Nia gets up and argues with the referee. Did you watch what go back and watch Tiffy?
This is where Tiffy jumps up and she's over to the side.
Well, no. So Tiffy is there and she does this one where she grabs her chest to make sure, like, did anything pop? And then she's readjusting her top to put in case something had fallen out. It like it almost looks like she was checking to see. Oh my gosh. Checking to make
sure everything was there.
Yeah. Did my implant survive being squished by Nia Jax? But she seemed to be okay. And this is where we have Nia go out, get the title. She looks like she's frustrated and she uses the title as a distraction. The ref gets distracted with the title. Nia comes back in with the chair that Naomi introduced. And then Nia gets booted in the head with the chair and eats a prettiest moonsault ever for the 1-2-3. Nia got to kick out of one prettiest moonsault earlier in the match, but she did not kick out of the second one. And I think she was bleeding pretty badly from that.
Well,
chair.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, if you saw anything this morning, I noticed it live when it happened, but you saw the WWE doctor come right over. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? Like, which one of them got hurt in this? And then you see backstage, Nia is busted open.
Just a really good Nia Jax match. And I hate to give Nia Jax credit because I'm not a big fan, but this was an excellent match. And a big shout out to the producer of this match who brought in Jade and Naomi to keep all of these threads together, but also to allow them to hit a really ambitious spot and have a few minutes to catch the wind.
Yeah.
Overall, Greg, this was a heck of a SmackDown.
I think so.
So the perfect timing for you to take a break, and let's go to the synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Your SmackDown synopsis is brought to you by the following commercial.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Are you looking for the best Raw review on the internet, or the worst one, depending on who you ask? Check out Randy C. and Eric B., the Raw Dogs. They'll be covering Monday Night Raw here on The Hub for Draw Straws Raw. And for your complete recap of all things AEW, listen here on The Hub to Sean and Ashley with a Dynamite Drop. They'll be dropping fresh new episodes Thursday nights or Friday mornings each week on The Hub. And...
Hey, Alessa, book me a flight to Nova Scotia. Alessa, is there a Home Depot or a Home Goods store somewhere in Nova Scotia where I can get a sledgehammer and a thing of paint? Just asking.
I love when Greg bops his head and he's like, you're going to add that in post, right?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed last week's sponsor. So,
it was great. I have a new one this week because I got a
excellent.
So yeah, you didn't hear it because I put those in posts, but
haven't heard it yet. I'll have to go back.
Well, like I said in my group chat earlier, I said it to this one and then the one with Berkey and the Dynamite Drop one that I'm in with the Ashley? Boss. Yeah, well, no, it's just me and Randy. It's like we and Sean where we work on like timing the drops and things like that. Cause if there's some reason I can't do it, normally I post for the Dynamite Drop crew, but if I can't, Randy's in there as a backup. So anyways, we were laughing because, we were just chuckling. Cause it was he said, I talked about the car and I was like, man, I don't want to tell my wrestling friends I got a new car because one of you is going to show up with Braun Strowman and that's the end of that car.
Or
Kofi percent. Kingston.
Or Jade Cargill.
Yeah, like anybody. Yeah, Jake is hurt on top of my new car. Naomi pushes her.
Yep.
Okay, Greg, let's go back through. Let's see. let's do the, we're going to do the, an ode to Roman Reigns.
Acknowledge me.
Okay.
If you like it, and if you hate it, we'll give people a.
All right.
So do you want the bloodline new bloodline segment?
No. No, I don't.
How about Alexa Bliss, Meechin, and Chelsea Green in the Money in the Bank qualifier?
Under protest, I'll keep it.
Oh.
Acknowledge me.
I had to acknowledge Roman. I missed Roman the last few weeks on things. What about what about DIY and Fraxium?
Yeah, we're gonna keep this.
Acknowledge me.
How about Andrade and Rey Fénix and the chase with the new bloodline?
Sorry? The Andrade.
So it's Andrade and Rey talking, and then the new bloodline comes in and they're seeking LA Knight. And
oh, no.
Street Profits and Praxium confirmed for SmackDown next week.
Yeah, digital exclusive.
So that one would be more like
this Rebel Heart.
Yeah, you can. I'll let you have your scissors for this week, and we'll use the This Rebel Heart for whenever you want to just work through it.
I love This Rebel Heart.
Sit. Okay, so R-Truth with Wade Barrett, the sit down.
I don't think Acknowledge Me is good enough for this.
You don't think it's well? That I think. I think we'll go with the top sound effect then.
It's Tiffy time.
Because you never cut Tiffy time.
That's fair. I honestly, I thought you were going to go whoa for that one.
Oh, the whoa. I need it. I'm going to clip something from this R-Truth interview. The hustle, loyalty, respect. I think I'm going to just clip that.
All right.
Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest promos. I'm going to put the two of them together.
Digital exclusive.
This Rebel Heart.
I should have never told you that was a digital exclusive sound effect for this week, because now that's all you want. Aleister Black and Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, we're keeping this.
Acknowledge me.
Are Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair going to get back together? Who cares? We got Julia.
Sure.
Oh, Greg, you don't seem very enthused.
Acknowledge me.
I'm not enthused is because we had Charlotte.
Fair. Oh, Tiffany Stratton and Jerry Cargill and Tiffy saying, you're never winning the title.
Yeah, I don't need it.
I like how you don't cut Tiffy matches, but you do that. How about the men's Money in the Bank qualifier? Oh,
get that sound effect out.
Yeah, I knew you were like, because the end of this. Okay, let's put the LA Knight and match with LA Knight and JC Mateo together. We'll put all that together. One big pile.
Yeah, I guess we can keep this. I mean, whatever.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge the bloodline.
Yeah, and as the bloodline turns, because that's definitely what that was.
All right, I like it. I mean, I like the JC Mateo stuff, but I'm like, I don't know how much. I think I'm the Solo Sikoa piece in the new bloodline is what's make my hesitation on that.
Dude, can any of the families get along? Because next thing is Escobar and Angel.
No. Why can't we be friends, Brad?
Why can't we be friends? How about Shinsuke opening up his challenge for the Money in the Bank?
I'll do exactly to this what I did with it when I watched it last night. I fast-forwarded through that shit.
And our main event, Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax.
Oh yeah, I'm keeping all this.
Acknowledge.
No, I know what you want.
It's Tiffy time.
There you go.
And next week on the show, we're going to get Shinsuke Nakamura versus LA Knight versus Aleister Black in a Money in the Bank qualifier, as well as Charlotte Flair, Julia, and Zelina Vega in the other women's Money in the Bank qualifier. Plus, we are going to get a tag title match between Fraxium and the Street Profits, which will all be done very quickly because we'll be setting up Saturday night's main event, which involves Sami Zayn and CM Punk teaming up to wrestle against
Braun Breaker and Seth Rollins.
Right. Well, I was trying to think of like the Paul Heyman's, the whatever his new faction's going to be called, R-Truth and John Cena.
Oh my God. Hold on. Before we continue, did you see someone has redone the New Day with Paul Heyman, Braun Breaker, and Seth Rollins on
in 2K? WWE K? Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh my God. I laughed so hard when I saw that this week.
Oh, dude. And how about this one? Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest in a steel cage match. That's gonna be so good.
Yeah,
there's like, and then there's another match. I'm trying to remember what the fourth match they've already announced for the
Uso versus Paul.
That's right. So yeah, we have four excellent matches: two from Raw, two from SmackDown. Speaking of which, if you want to hear more about Raw, you can listen to the Raw Dogs here on the Hub. They are here with Sports and Entertainment. You can listen to them with, they'll be hilarious, plus some special stuff coming up shortly as well. Every week, Ashley and Sean, as we alluded to, they do the Dynamite Drop, which precedes us in sequence. And yeah, so that's everything for today. Greg, you're away next week on special assignment.
Yes.
I may have to call in a favor with Sean Burkhead because it seems weird to do a podcast on my birthday by myself.
You can, yes. It's your birthday. I apologize profusely for missing your birthday next week. I will be in hospital.
You're apologizing because you have to have a surgical procedure done and you'll be in recovery. So I'm so sorry, Greg, that you're missing my birthday because you have surgery.
I will try my best in my semi-recovering general anesthetic state to provide my feedback for you on SmackDown. And I hope and pray to God it's as funny as it might be, that you can use it on air for, this is what Greg thought about this when he's still half out of it. Whee! That's right.
I just hope you're not stuck in the hospital any longer than you have to be for a procedure. Because
yeah, me too.
I hate hospitals.
Yeah, especially the one I'm going to, and you know it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, with that, we'll be back next week for a very abridged version of SmackDown. That's why I'm half tempted not to bug Burkhead, because, man, it's back-to-back wrestling. It's tri-wrestling nights next week.
Yeah, it's going to be what?
Not about 8 hours of wrestling content from WWE in 3 days.
Is there a AEW thing next week too?
No, WWE is doing Backlash next week, or not Backlash, Battleground for NXT on Sunday.
Fair. Okay.
God forbid the AEW try to squeeze something in next weekend. Oh wait, I think they may have their PLE next weekend too.
Well, I thought that was one of the things like that they had on, like, is it World's End is next one?
No, World's Collide is the WWE one. You think with the AEW?
Yeah, AEW. Next AEW pay-per-view. Let's see.
I'm sure it's next weekend.
Are you?
Where's Sean and Ashley? We need them. Yeah, it's Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing's the 25th.
Yeah, and I thought so. I was like, wait a minute. I thought that it was WWE initially like scheduling at the same time just to really piss them off.
Yeah, so WWE has 3 hours of SmackDown.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have the 2 hours of Saturday Night's Main Event the night before. And right. Then you have, if you have Netflix in Canada, or if you have Peacock in the States, you can get the NXT PLE for free. $50 to AEW PLE pay-per-view, or a PLE that you're already paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also weird though that I don't know why we don't get Saturday Night's Main Event on Netflix.
Yeah, it's an NBC thing, and I really wish that they would license it for the market outside. Because we're gonna have to watch it on, well, I don't care. I'll watch it on YouTube. I prefer YouTube as a streaming service. So
do they have it on YouTube for live?
For Canada, yeah. Live. Canada?
Yeah, I can remember.
So we'll be able to watch it live here. And those of us living in international markets will be able to watch it on YouTube live through the WWE YouTube.
Gotcha. Or you can just turn on your TV to NBC, because we get NBC in Canada. So,
yeah, but okay. Fair enough, Greg. All right. There we go. So next week, speed run. And in the meantime, and in between time, check out all the other podcasts here on the Hub. And this podcast was brought to you by ADHD. I'm Brad. He's Greg. We the ones.
Father Greg and Brad, the dad bless you.